Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two kinds of sinners portrayed for us in the Gospel today, and also in the Epistle. Those who are easily identifiable as sinners, and those who are not so easily identifiable as sinners. Those who refuse to admit that they are sinners, who deny it, and those who confess it and look to God for nothing but mercy. In the epistle from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's the same man, the Apostle Paul, who was each kind of sinner at different points in his life. He began as a Pharisee, as one who outwardly was not so easily identified as a sinner, who appeared righteous and claimed to be righteous and despised others and looked down on others and even persecuted others who were not as righteous as he thought himself to be. But then God showed mercy to the Apostle Paul by showing him what a terrible sinner he actually was, even though he denied it at first, and who brought him to his knees in repentance, who brought him to trust in the Lord Jesus for forgiveness. And so the Apostle Paul, who began as the Pharisee, ended up as really the tax collector in Jesus' parable, the one who acknowledged his great sinfulness, who confessed in today's epistle that he was the least of all the apostles, who didn't even deserve to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church in his Pharisaical pride. But that same apostle was brought to recognize the grace of God, that he stood in God's kingdom by grace alone, and not because he had any righteousness of his own, but because he found his righteousness only in Christ. So there is hope for the Pharisee. There is hope for the one who at first refuses to confess his sin, but then is brought to faith through word, through baptism. Now you already know and agree with the Holy Scriptures when they make the sweeping claim that all men are sinners, that all have sinned, including you, that all have earned and now deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment from God. You confessed it today again in the confession of sins, and I trust that you meant what you said. If we could just start with that premise in every discussion with anyone, with everyone, that all are sinners and have nothing to offer God, that all we have are sins and all we need is mercy, then we could begin immediately to talk about the solution that God has provided. But we can't start there, because the Pharisees of the world, even the Pharisees who dwell in our own flesh, have to be addressed first, as Jesus so directly addressed the Pharisees in today's gospel, in this parable told specifically to those who thought they were righteous and despised others, comparing the Pharisees with the tax collectors of the world. The Pharisee and the tax collector, each in Jesus' parable, went to the temple in Jerusalem at the same time to pray. But you remember how different their prayers were. The Pharisee looks up to heaven and praises himself. He gives thanks to God, but he gives credit to himself for the fine person that he's turned out to be. A fine, upstanding person, far better than, well, just about everyone around him, especially far better than that tax collector who came to the temple at the same time as he did that day. He lists the fine things that he has done for God and holds himself up before God as a model citizen and a model church member, fully expecting God to shine down his face on him to look down with his divine grace, although it wasn't grace because he earned it, he thought, to shine down with blessings, with success, with favor, even as God would look over and surely gaze at that tax collector with contempt. The tax collector, for his part, knows that he isn't good enough even to lift up his gaze to heaven. Remember, the tax collectors of Jesus' day were known for being cheaters and extortioners and thieves. He knows he has sinned against God and man. He doesn't list anything good in himself, but beats his breast and prays for nothing but mercy. Mercy that he knows he doesn't deserve, but that God has promised to show as he's revealed himself in Scripture as a God who loves to show mercy, who delights in showing mercy, it says. As the God who chose this place in Jerusalem, this temple, and chose the altar there specifically to receive the blood of innocent animals who were to be sacrificed in the place of guilty sinners, so that God might show mercy to those sinners. All of it pointing ahead to the great sacrifice of the Messiah, the innocent one who would shed his blood not for righteous people, but for sinners. The tax collector was right to seek mercy from God, who over and over again reveals himself in the Old Testament as that God of mercy, who revealed himself to the prophet Isaiah with these words, "On this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." True to his word, Jesus revealed to his hearers how God viewed the self-righteous Pharisee and how he viewed that tax collector, that sinner in the temple. Only one of those two men would go home justified on that day, and it wasn't the Pharisee. The Pharisees, as a Jewish sect, no longer exist. But the Pharisaical attitude lives on. The Pharisees of today are those who, like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable, appear to be godly people on the outside. If you ask anyone, they'll say, "Oh, now there's a godly person. There's a church person if I ever saw one." Compared to other men, they are relatively innocent, good, righteous. They work hard. They pray. They go to church. They give generous offerings, which is all well and good. But here's the other quality of the Pharisees that make these people Pharisees. They actually believe that they are good people, decent people. They actually believe themselves to be righteous people, better than other men, deserving of God's favor and of God's blessings. The world tends to view all Christians as Pharisees, as pompous, self-righteous hypocrites who love to talk about how good and moral they are, who love to show off their good works, who walk around comparing themselves to others and looking down on others and putting others down, even mistreating their neighbors, and then patting themselves on the back for being fine church people. That's not fair, of course, to brand all Christians that way. It's a stereotype that the world has created to hide its own guilt and shame, to make excuses for its unbelief in the true God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who declares all men to be sinners. The world loves to point the finger at Christians as being terrible hypocrites, even as they themselves live in rebellion against God. But the stereotype, has had more than a few representatives of it over the ages. And there certainly is a warning for Christians in this gospel. Self-righteousness is a powerful temptation that afflicts Christians, and all the more as the world around us becomes more openly godless. As sin is celebrated and the truth is mocked, the contrast between a life lived according to the Ten Commandments and the way the world around us lives is becoming greater and greater. How easy it is to compare yourself to the immoral people of this world. You could even begin comparing yourselves to other Christians and conclude, I am definitely living a better life than they are. Thank God I'm not like them. Watch out. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, Jesus says. There's no room for pride or self-congratulation in the kingdom of Christ. There's only room for mercy. God's mercy in Christ. If you wish to bring in your goodness, your decency, your works, your ego, and hold them up before God as reasons for Him to accept you above someone else, then you will be all on your own, and God will judge you by your works, all of them, good and bad, and the bad will by far overshadow the good in God's estimation. You will not have Christ to fall back on in that case. You will answer for yourself from start to finish, and it will not go well. You will not go down to your house justified, even as the Pharisee didn't in the gospel. Instead, Jesus holds up for us today the example of all things, the tax collector for God's people to emulate, who went down to his home justified. Now, there's more than one kind of tax collector, and we have to understand that too. There are at least five kinds of tax collectors that I can think of people who are easily identified as sinners. First, there are the ones who recognize their sin and gladly keep living in it, flaunt it even, celebrate it, and want the world to see, yes, I'm happy to live this way. They are just as condemned as the Pharisee. Then there are those who recognize their sin and fool themselves into thinking that they can fix themselves. They can work harder. They can do better. They can become righteous people and earn God's favor eventually. They are just as condemned as the Pharisees. Then there are those who recognize their sin and seek help from a false God who cannot save, from the Mormon God or the Jehovah's Witnesses God, from the Jewish, modern Jewish God, or from the Muslim God, or from any of the pantheon of pagan gods that men have invented for themselves to try to save them and help them from this mess that they've gotten themselves into. They are just as condemned as the Pharisee. Then there are those who recognize their sin and despair of all help and mercy. They think there is no helper, there is no Savior, not for them. They've been too evil, too bad, and so they live in deep sadness or bitterness, anger. They, sadly, sometimes commit suicide or simply live in such sadness or fear that their life on earth is like a living hell. It doesn't have to be that way, but they don't want to believe in any other way and any mercy, and so sadly they are just as condemned as the Pharisee too. Then finally, there are the kinds of tax collectors. The ones who, like the tax collector in the parable today, recognize their sin. Recognize that even if they are the worst of sinners, there is a God of mercy who has revealed himself to us, who wants to receive just sinners like that. And so they seek mercy from the one true source of mercy, from the Lord God, who has revealed himself to us in the person of Christ Jesus, his Son, who was sent to save not righteous people, but sinners. Be like that, Jesus pleads with us in the gospel. Be like the tax collector. Yes, he's done terrible things, but so has the Pharisee. His sins are just less obvious to those around him. The real difference between the two lies in repentance and faith in God's mercy for the sake of Christ. Be like that and humble yourself before God. Acknowledge the deep corruption of your heart and the crimes, both small and great, that you've committed against God and against your neighbor. Be like that tax collector in the temple, for those who humble themselves will be exalted. Confess your sins to God, trusting in his mercy for the sake of Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Find your righteousness, find your peace, not in yourself, but in Christ. And then know for certain, you have God's own word for it, that you will always go down to your house justified. As the Apostle John writes, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's true that you're always going to be a sinner on this earth and that you'll always have sins to confess. But it's also true that God forgives sins. And because he does, it means that you don't need to live with guilt or with shame. But by faith in Christ Jesus, you are free. Free to live in joy and thankfulness to God for showing mercy to you, a sinner. And then, like the Apostle Paul, to live a life of thankfulness, to live a life of working harder than anyone else to please God, as the Apostle Paul himself did, not because he thought he could make up for his own sins, he knew he couldn't, but out of thankfulness to God, who received him by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ Jesus. That is what motivated every day of the Apostle's life, to live for God, to show mercy to his neighbor. May the same grace of God so motivate you who have been washed of your sins and cleansed of your unrighteousness through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.